Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, May the 12th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, here at the moment, a teaching assistant admitted to police she'd spat at a child.
She spat at me first time, I didn't react. She spat at me second time, I didn't react. I don't know why I did it the third time, though.
There are concerns over changes to driving tests that come into force today.
We manage all of our pupils' tests, you know, or did, because of the fact that obviously we know when they're ready. And we was able to swap them round and bring them forward or bring them back because we was able to do that. But now we won't be able to do that at all.
And a new group is being set up to support mental health nurses in Kent.
And there's something about bringing together that strong clinical voice and how we can then really impact not only our services, but the experience for our patients and our carers and the people that send their loved ones to us for care every single day.
But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. Three lorry drivers who attacked a man at a service station on the M2 have been jailed. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us a bit more about the assault and what led to it?
Yes, well, violence broke out in February following a row over a parking space at the services on the M2, not far from Junction 4 for Gillingham. Haulage boss Bogdan Joja, his father Trajan Joja and pal Simeon Rafiala didn't like the fact another lorry driver had pulled into what they regarded as their bay. They dragged one man from his cab and then turned on his brother, who tried to intervene. He was punched by Bogdan Joja and the force of the blow knocked him unconscious and he fell to the ground. As a result, he suffered a bleed on the brain and 2-minute seizure. He also had fractures to his eye sockets, ear canal bones and collarbone. All three were arrested and have appeared for sentencing at Maidstone Crown Court.
And what happened during the hearing, Lucy?
Well, the judge described the attack as appalling, unprovoked and serious violence. The court was told that all three defendants, who were from Romania, were in the UK on haulage business when it happened. They were said to be of previous good character without any convictions. Judge Daniel Stevenson said the attack was so serious that prison terms couldn't be suspended.
Finally, what sentences have been handed down?
32-year-old Bogdan Joja was jailed for 12 months, while Rafiala, who's 25, and 56-year-old Trajan Joja both got 7 months behind bars. All three are expected to serve 40% of their jail terms before being released on licence and subject to year-long post-sentence supervision. However, Bogdan Joja was told that given the sentence imposed, he would be liable to automatic deportation once freed.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and this is by far dominating the national and local agenda. A Kent MP has joined calls for Sir Keir Starmer to resign after stepping down from her government role. Nishaba Khan, who represents Gillingham and Raynham, says he's lost the confidence of the public. Folkestone and Hythe's Tony Vaughan, meantime, is also calling for an orderly transition of leadership. Well, the Prime Minister was due to host a cabinet meeting this morning as more than 70 Labour MPs urge him to go. Mike Martin is a Lib Dem rep for Tunbridge Wells and he's been giving us his thoughts.
I think he's a man of integrity. I think he's clearly, you know, working very hard and trying his best, but he's lacking a few key skills that are required to be a Prime Minister. He's not able to build a coalition and amass political power and take his party with him. He's not able to narrate and tell a story to the public about where the country's going. And these are kind of really important skills for politicians. Your main job is to take very complicated things and to distill them down into a communications narrative and take both other politicians, the media and the public with you. And he's just totally unable to do that.
Do you think it's more of a personality thing for Keir Starmer than a policy thing?
Well, I think there have been clearly some policy nightmares, right? Like the winter fuel allowance. I think the economic policy is appalling under this government. They've said that they were going to sort out growth and then they've put loads of taxes up on businesses, for instance. And I speak to the businesses in Tunbridge Wells and my constituency. It's causing real problems. They've had to delay hiring decisions. You know, we've got a huge youth unemployment problem that's basically largely, I would lay at the door of this government's economic strategy. So there are pockets of things that they're doing well, but actually there are lots of things they're not doing very well and they're not able to tell a story. So it has not been a great government from Labour this time round.
As I'm sure you can appreciate, this is very much a developing story at the time of recording today's podcast, but you will be able to follow all of the updates at Kent Online and on our sister radio station KMFM. We'll bring you further reaction and analysis in tomorrow's episode.
Kent Online reports.
Footage has been released of the moment a teaching assistant from iWade admitted to spitting at a child in her care. Danuska Puglia was questioned by police following accusations she'd physically abused four disabled pupils.
And she spat at me first time, I didn't react. She spat at me second time, I didn't react. I don't know why I did it the third time though. I can't remember.
She's saying that you spat at the child's face, but you can't remember why.
I can't remember why I did it, no.
Okay, but you confirm that you, as I'm saying, so did you spit in her face or their face?
I spat not really in her face, but I did spat. I don't know why I did it, but I know she did it to me maybe twice, and I did spat back, but I can't remember at that time why I did it or what happened.
This is a separate witness at the school which has said that they've witnessed you pinching a child's nose when they had taken another child's food. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yes, I did. I pinched the child's nose so I could take the food out of his mouth. That was a chocolate bar. I didn't really pinch his nose. I just did this so I could take the chocolate bar, who was another child.
And what training have you had to have that as a tactic that you should use?
None.
The 47-year-old from White Satin Close was convicted following a trial last November. She's now been jailed for 4 years. A cyclist has been treated in hospital following an alleged hit and run in Ashford. The e-bike he was riding is said to have been involved in a collision with a 4x4 on Chart Road near the Tank roundabout on May the 3rd. The driver of the car reportedly didn't stop. The cyclist has now been discharged. Follow Kent Online on socials today to see a picture of a man police want to speak to following reports of an assault in Folkestone. A victim was left with a head injury after it happened in the Old High Street in the early hours of April the 12th. A 19-year-old man's already been questioned and bailed while inquiries continue. And a man's been taken to hospital after being punched in Maidstone town centre. The attack happened on Gabriel's Hill in the early hours of Sunday following a disturbance involving a large group of people. A man and a teenager have been arrested and released on bail.
Kent Online reports.
Now, a man who was a key member of a County Line drug supply network in East Kent has been jailed. Causa Azad was identified as a key suspect back in 2022 when a car he was driving sped away from police in Canterbury, reaching speeds of 72 miles per hour in a 30 zone. This is the moment he was arrested.
We are 70 in a 40, right?
Ridiculous driving, mate. You're going to kill someone. It's pointless.
The 29-year-old from Countess Road in Northampton has been locked up for 7 years. Two families have been placed in emergency accommodation after an electrical fault at a block of flats in Maidstone. Firefighters were called to the basement of Miller Heights in Lower Stone Street yesterday. Water and electricity supplies have been turned off as a precaution. Council bosses say they're supporting the 200 people who live there. Elsewhere, an electrical fault is also being blamed for causing a fire at a house in Sittingbourne. Crews were called to tackle the blaze on Springfield Road yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt, but we are being reminded not to leave washing machines in standby mode after using them, or indeed running them while out of the house. Meantime, six fire engines have been sent to tackle a blaze at a quarry near Westmorling. No one was hurt when it broke out in Kings Hill just before six yesterday evening. It's thought to have started from an industrial shredder.
Kent Online News.
Now, a Kent driving instructor has told the podcast that he's concerned about big changes to booking a test that come into force from today. Learners are now the only ones who can do it via a government website. Previously, instructors were able to deal with test dates and amend them if necessary. Well, I've been chatting to Wayne Langford, who's from Look Who's Driving in Medway.
There's a lot of controversy because at the moment, as an instructor, I've got a book of pupils that I'm teaching where I can actually change their tests between those pupils. And if they're currently available and ready, then we would move them into an earlier slot. If they're not, then we can move them back. Hence, that's why I actually made the actual independent group so that I've got access to 96 driving instructors, pupils and pupils tests so that we currently swap all the time between ourselves, because we do get people that are ready, some people are not, and so on. So it makes it very accessible, and it actually saves the DSA less cancellations for late notice, because we're able to deal with it. Now they're going to be getting a pupil to bring up that's not going to be very confident on the phone. Some pupils hate speaking on the phone. You've got other people like send people that got disabilities, who's going to be able to do their changes for them?
What would have been the solution, Wayne, or was the solution not really needed? Because we have heard of the huge backlog. Was there anything that needed to be done to try and clear that?
The thing is that it's crazy that they actually moved the cancellation period from the timescale it was to 10 working days. So if you've got somebody that goes sick, we've got pupils that potentially could step into those roles but can't swap them because DSA need 10 days. So, of course, that test gets cancelled. The pupil loses their money. The only person that benefits is the DSA because they've got the £62.50. But we could have actually put people into that role because regularly I speak to the examiners and pupils are not turned up for tests.
So for you as an instructor, that must be incredibly frustrating. How do you think learner drivers are going to feel about it? Have you spoken to them about the changes and the implications?
Oh, yeah. I've spoken to quite a few. They're really nervous because although they may be of the age to drive, mum and dad still step in and book things for them. And they're really nervous now that they are the only ones that can actually do it because they can't get their parents to do it because of the fact that they're the only ones that the DSA will speak to.
Thanks so much to Wayne for chatting to us. Perhaps you're learning to drive at the moment, or indeed you're also a driving instructor. We'd love to know your thoughts. You can message us via our socials or email news@thekmgroup.co.uk. An Iceland supermarket in Kent has been given a 1-star hygiene rating. Inspectors visited the store at Swanley Square Shopping Centre and found food being stored above freezer load lines, and a pack of sausages were being sold past their use-by date. Bosses say they've already addressed the issues and have requested a re-inspection. A Kent hospital's admitted to failings in a man's end-of-life care after he was denied his final wish to spend his last moments in a hospice. The patient, who's known only as Pete, passed away at the William Harvey in Ashford in September 2023. The trust running the site has apologised and say improvements have been made. People living near a former student accommodation block in Gillingham say they're concerned it's been given permission to be turned into a 63-bed HMO. The building on Jeffrey Street will be repurposed after permission was granted by Medway Council. Nearby residents have told us they're worried about antisocial behaviour, overcrowding and parking. In fact, it's also been criticised by the local MP. The authority say they'll keep track of the impact.
Kent Online reports.
Next on today's podcast, and a new group's been set up to try and improve standards for mental health nurses in Kent. Demand for support services has risen in recent years, and now a nursing council has been established to give staff more of a voice. The announcement comes as we mark International Nurses Day, which also happens to fall during Mental Health Awareness Week. Well, I've been speaking to Julie Kirby, who's acting chief nurse at the Kent and Medway Mental Health NHS Trust.
Across the organisation, we have a range of nurses. So we have mental health nurses, learning disability nurses, adult nurses, paediatric nurses. And there's something about bringing together that strong clinical voice and how we can then really impact not only our services, but the experience for our patients and our carers and the people that that send their loved ones to us for care every single day.
Now, it's not too long ago that the Trust rebranded, and perhaps a lot of people are a bit more aware now of what you do. And mental health is something that we talk about a lot more regularly and more openly about. And obviously this week is all about raising awareness of mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Week. Was it crucial that you made this announcement this week and on International Nurses Day as well? Does it all fit in quite nicely together?
We were really excited, actually, that International Nurses Day falls on Mental Health Awareness Week, because for us it's two key points in time where we can really get people thinking about their mental health and really thinking about nursing. So being able to launch our nursing council today for us just felt like a really great way to say, here's how we're pushing forward, here's what the future is going to look like for the nurses within our organisation and the difference that's going to make moving forward.
And what has the workload been for nurses? Because presumably if we do make mental health more of a subject that we can all talk about, people will seek help, which is a great thing. But does that put more pressure on your teams?
We've absolutely seen an increase in demand for our mental health services. And we absolutely want to encourage anyone that's having any kind of needing any support with their mental health to come forward. That's really important and it's really key. What we have seen with that increase in demand, and also with the transfer of services for our children and young people's and all age eating disorders, which came over to our organisation on the 1st of April, is we've now got an awful lot of geographical range, but also change in population across Kent and Medway. So, you know, we're absolutely dedicated to meeting that demand. But for the nurses across the organisation, it's a huge ask. It's an awful lot for us to think about. We deliver on lots of various different treatments, various different therapies. We have nurses that are more specialist in one area than another. As I said previously, we've got nurses that are from different specialisms. So it's really a place in the nursing council where we can start to bring all of our nurses together to make sure we've got one voice.
Thanks ever so much to Julie for being on today's episode of the podcast. Bosses in Kent have confirmed they're in talks with Aldi about building a new store in Maidstone as major roadworks continue. The supermarket firm was given permission in 2024 to build on land near Newnham Court Shopping Village. The nearby A249 is currently being expanded and should be completed by 2027. It's not known yet when work on the new shop will start. A teenager from Whitstable who was left paralysed after a motocross accident is hoping to be able to walk again. Jamie Thomas suffered a spinal injury during the race in Swanley in June last year. The 19-year-old's hoping to have pioneering stem cell treatment. His family are hoping to raise £20,000 needed to pay for it. A former KFC in Ashford is going to be turned into a new Indian restaurant thanks to a top A&E doctor. Siddhartha Kohler, who works as a consultant at the William Harvey, is opening a franchise of biryanis and more on the high street. He's planning to spend £450,000 on the refurb and is due to open in July. And the UK's Eurovision entrant, who's from Kent, says preparations for this year's contest have been a lot of work, especially after becoming a dad. YouTuber Sam Battle, whose stage name is Look Mum No Computer, will be performing his track Eins zwei drei in Vienna this week. He says he's excited rather than nervous.
Kent Online Sports.
First tributes are being paid to a Kent rally driver who's died while taking part in an event on the Isle of Man. Daryl Taylor from Hawkinge was competing in the Manx National Rally when he suffered a medical incident during the opening stage last week. Colleagues say he had a big heart and won't be forgotten. On to cricket, and Kent have beaten Gloucestershire by 2 wickets in the county championship. A century from Tawanda Mieye helped secure the narrow victory on the final day in Bristol. It's their second win in a row after a slightly rocky start to the season. And in football, Kent Online have named their team of the season. The only Gillingham player to make the side is Bradley Dack, who features on the bench, while Folkestone's Jay Saunders is named manager of the season. You can now vote for your overall player of the 2025-26 campaign. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.